Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Song I ever wrote, and it was after a family vacation to North Carolina, and we went to the beach, and I noticed that there were, you know, all the signs and everything on all the dunes, you know, saying don't get on the dunes, or you can get a $10,000 fine. You know, they don't want you to destroy the habitat and everything. So that's kind of where this song came from. Got me to thinking. We rented a cabin with a view of the sea. In the month of September, my sweetheart and me. In the pale autumn moonlight, we'd stroll hand in hand. The waves washing over the sand. Well, the season for tourists was long past its time. There was no one around us to witness my crime. Now somewhere beneath the North Carolina moon, my darling lies under a dune. Oh, she loved the ocean, but was fearful to swim. She told me her brother had drowned. So I drugged her with liquor, then I drug her on in. And the cold water drug her on down. Well, her family lay scattered and her parents passed on. There were no close relations to notice her gone. No good friends to wonder where my baby might be. And no one to blame it on me. So I buried her body right under a sign that protected the sand hills by posting a fine. Now her grave marker serves to keep people away and keep the beachcombers at bay. Oh, she loved the ocean but was fearful to swim. She told me her brother had drowned. So I drugged her with liquor, then I drug her on in. And the cold water drug her on down. ears. Still I've heard them nightly for 20 odd years. The wind through the sawgrass resembles her screams. Her spirit still haunting my dreams. I once loved the ocean, now I'm fearful to swim, for both she and her brother have drowned. I'll never more enter into the salt sea, lest their cold hands might drag me on down. Oh, their cold hands might drag me on down. Yeah, their cold hands might drag me on down.
I gotta say something just really fast before we move on. Steve's really tall. I just gotta say, every great musician has to have a bird ballad, and I think that's a pretty good one. So. Next up, we have Seeking Refuge in the Sun by Jabba Sabada. Emily's reading it because Nava is from Zimbabwe. So yay for international connections. So we asked Emily to read this one because when I read it, I could hear her reading it out loud. So it's all yours. This is Seeking Refuge by Naba Sibanda. Messages come in many shapes, sizes, and colors, but what is crucial is how we interpret and implement them. If friendships, relationships, or marriages were scripted like plays and movies, life would not be as dramatic and enigmatic as we know it to be. We write and practice our scripts as we live, love, and transition. I love the sky, how magic it is to marvel at that celestial dome as it towers above the earth. I begin to visualize daylight and the delight of sightseeing birds and insects as they fly in their sky. I bask in the cordiality and cuddle of the sun and wander away in a trance into the wonder of the clouds, lightning, and rainbows before arriving at the constellations. I then go clubbing with the night and its stars and the moon, though the stars hog the limelight. Finally, I decide to hang out with precious precipitations, dear family and friends. I mean lovely and lively chaps like rain, hail, drizzle, sleet, and snow. What fun. No company beats their watery warmth, harmonies, and hospitality, I swear. I love the wilderness in the form of wild animals, forests, vegetations, rocks, rivers, and beaches. These amazingly beautiful things go about their business despite human intervention. Bravo. People, the preservation of the universe, which is the natural, physical, or material world, is essentially the preservation of life, and this cause is close to my heart.
Next, you're in for a treat, Blowing Things Up with Mark Wilkinson.
I appreciate having the opportunity to have something selected for every edition of the Polk Street Review, and I kind of found my way when...
You're really tall.
Thank you. When I started writing about growing up in Shirley, Indiana in the 60s and 70s and some of the things we did, and blowing things up were some of those things we did. From a young age, boys like to up things. Tear up, burn up, blow up. Maybe it's hardwired into our brains, but it's always a boy who burns down his garage or bends Grandma's bicycle jumping over something. We like it. Feels good. Every neighborhood has the kids who always seem to possess the means to make these things happen. They have access to tools, lighters, lighter fluid, and fireworks on a regular basis. In my neighborhood, it was my neighbors, Perry and Terry Conway. The Conway clan was a tough lot. Heck and Wanda were the parents, and they had 6 kids, all of whom could beat me up. Even the dog Rennie took his turn, chasing me on my bicycle and biting my leg. It was a rough and tumble family, and the boys, particularly Perry and Terry, became what was known in small town parlance as hoodlums. Being a hoodlum did not require any great effort. You had to be able to stand solemnly on the sidewalk in front of the laundromat, swear occasionally, smoke cigarettes. These hoodlums were my heroes and my nightmares. Their savoir faire was immeasurable. Their command of the sidewalk, total. If they deigned to speak to me, then my esteem among the fearful rose like a bottle rocket. If they punched me in the arm, the honor far outweighed the pain. You were somebody. There was definitely a yin and yang of having hoodlums for neighbors. On one side, I was always available for random beatings, torturing, and terrorizing. And I never ratted them out. Even as a kid, the code of omerta was in force. There were positives of having the Conways next door. They were always up for a game of kick the can or football. And if the brothers were on different sides, I knew the loser would fight the winner sooner or later, and it would not be me taking a beating. Plus, they always had the good stuff. Matches, lighters, cigarettes, punishable offenses in my house were always available to the Conway boys. And they were master thieves at Massey's drugstore. As far as I can remember, they never bought a candy bar or a comic book. They took what they wanted. One of the real perks of having Perry and Terry for neighbors is that they would, in their way, look out for me. I was their thrall. They could torment, tease, torture, and terrorize me, but others had to get their permission. Work for me. Better the devil you know, right? Even though I was given relatively free rein to roam the streets of Shirley, Indiana at a young age, I was not what one would consider worldly. I knew my world. It was the corner of White and Shirley Streets. I knew what a firecracker was, but I'd never seen a blasting cap. A blasting cap is a small explosive used to detonate larger explosives, such as a stick of dynamite. They were, at the time of my youth, readily available and notoriously unstable. Basically, a blasting cap was a metal tube full of black powder with a fuse. They were the real deal, and could blow off fingers with their blasts and put out eyes with their metal fragments. When I was in elementary school, I'd never seen one. We walked to school in those days. Sometimes we cut through yards and down alleys. Sometimes we met our friends and walked down the sidewalks. One day I was taking the sidewalk home with my friends. As we approached an alley, I noticed something new and a little bit disconcerting. The Conway brothers were lurking in the alley. This was no surprise. They were notorious lurkers. The surprise was that they were accompanied by the Hafner brothers, Farrell and Jody. Most small towns had multiple hoodlum families that provided generations of smokers, truants, and thieves. The Conways and the Hafners were two of ours. Normally, the progeny of these clans kept their distance from one another, since proximity seemed to ignite some primal need to assert dominance, leading to blood, bruises, and repercussions from older siblings. Today, they lurk together. If I'd been paying attention, I would have cut down New Jersey Street.
but it was too late to change. I would just take my chances on a punch in the arm, a minor inconvenience. As I attempted to ease past the group, Jody Hafner spoke to me. "Hey kid," he said, "come here." I stepped off the sidewalk into the alley. "Hold this," he said. I took a chunk of concrete block from him, obedient to authority as always. "Drop it on that," he said. He pointed to the metal tube in the alley as he backed away. I raised the concrete, ready to slam it down on the shiny object. "Don't do it, Mark," Terry said urgently. I was stunned. To my knowledge, Terry, 5 years older than me, had never called me by my first name. He either called me kid or fart knocker. I took the last as an insult, but never complained. His authority was without question, both in nicknames and behavior. I did not drop the concrete. "That's a blasting cap," Terry said. He assumed his explanation was enough. I gave him the concrete and backed down the alley. I had no idea what a blasting cap was. It was years later when I realized that Terry Conway saved me from whatever maiming or blinding that this small explosive would have wrought on me. It was years after that when I realized that Jody Hafner would have let me hurt myself severely for his own enjoyment. That was a turning point in my relationship with my hoodlum neighbor. He cared enough about me, or the trouble he would get into, to keep me from blowing myself up. He never mentioned it to me, nor did I ever bring it up to him. I never ratted Jody Hafner out to my parents either, which may have been why Terry treated me better. He still called me fart knocker, but he didn't make it sound like an insult. I never became a hoodlum, but I admired their ethos, and I had the fingers and toes to prove it.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.